morning. It is my privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning. And thank you, Joe, again for the passionate prayer. Just so much passion, which is reflected in what James has to say for us as well. He has so much passion for the church in living as a distinct community that we need to be transformed by God's Holy Spirit. Before we start, though, just a warning. One feedback that I got from the 9 a.m. service was that my sermon was so short. And so, I warn you, you're getting the longer version. Just kidding, sort of. And so, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would like to join me in opening up to James chapter 2, we will read from verse 1. We're back in James, in chapter 2. We read God's word for us. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or you sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, then you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. And so speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Now, before we dive into our text, it occurred to me that coming from a hierarchical culture like Korea, I think there is a higher danger of getting obsessed with power and status, which is what James is warning us about in our text this morning. Now, out of the many instances that I had experienced or seen, I remember when I was a teacher back in Korea, we, as the whole student body of high school, went to a school camp, and at the resort that we were staying at, one of the staff came to me and scolded me very rudely, in my opinion, for being out of my room after curfew. Now, I was both flattered that he thought that I looked young enough to be a high school student, but so weirdly satisfied when he came to apologize later for not showing me the respect that an adult, let alone a teacher, deserves in our society. Do you know who I am? And I remember thinking I liked that feeling and that I could see myself liking more of it, that feeling of status and power. Now, I don't know if you can relate. It might be just me and my sinfulness, but I have a feeling that throughout our lives, we may face temptations to misuse this sort of power or status. And so as we jump into James' warning for us as the church, the very first verse that we looked at sets the stage. And as believers, he calls to us, believers who have faith and full trust in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. That verse is so loaded. Believers who have a wholesome faith, not just head knowledge, not just following some religious rules, but a holistic faith that depends and are obedient and puts our full trust in the person to whom we belong, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who came down to us as a lowly servant. And I didn't share this in 9 a.m., but you get the full brunt. The word glorious here that describes our Lord Jesus Christ, it's emphasized in the word order of the original Greek syntax. It's at the end, doxa, saying, you belong to our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who is king over all, but came humbly as a lowly servant. Know who you belong to. Know who your true king is. In light of this identity, he says simply, we must not show favoritism. Favoritism, as simple as our kids being like, I don't want to play with you because you look different, or because you smell, or because my mommy told me not to play with you. To be a little more sophisticated, we are warned not to show partiality, discrimination like racism, ageism, sexism, prejudice, division, tribalism. Why? James, why are you warning us about this? Why should we not show discrimination, favoritism? Now, obviously, it might be silly to ask. Why? Of course we shouldn't show discrimination. But we ask James, and what James has to say specifically about this sin, he says, to show discrimination and favoritism is to become judges with evil thoughts. Judges with evil thoughts. And I think he means that to show favoritism is to reflect unrighteousness, which is to be a slave to sin and not free as God intended for us to live. Instead of letting God's word free us from a life slave to sin, we let the patterns of this world and culture to form and shape us. And like good wisdom literature, James presents us with two paths. One, the way of righteousness, to follow the royal law of loving your neighbor as yourself. And the other path, the way of unrighteousness, to let the patterns of this world shape our church, shape the church in showing partiality. This sounds much like the wisdom literature that we've seen, even in the Psalms. The very first verse of the very first Psalm that we looked at in our series, blessed or happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but blessed are those who meditate on God's word day and night. Also in Proverbs, those who despise their neighbors are sinners, but happy and blessed are those who are kind to the poor. Paul even echoes James as they both testify to the same predicament that was happening in the church. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And James is reiterating to a church that was showing signs of being conformed to the world instead of witnessing to the good news of freedom from that life of sin. And so the example that James portrays for us in verses 2 to 3 that we looked at may seem like an unreal or even a childish example. We read in verse 2 to 3, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, literally golden fingers, and fine clothes, and a poor man also comes in with filthy clothes. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, we like you. But say to the poor man, why are you here? Can you stand there? Or you sit by my feet, which is very disrespectful. Now I remember when I first read this, or when I was reading this for the first time preparing for the sermon, thinking in my head, there's no way that James is speaking to our church, Hope. There's no way that anyone in our church would explicitly and blatantly show this kind of discrimination for the poor. I remember thinking, no, our church is perfect. Such a naive and innocent Jonathan, thinking that our church is perfect. as if our church, or any church for that matter, is a place where only saints gather together to worship. The church, we keep saying, and we know to be true, is a place where broken sinners come together to try our best, to try to live in reflection of God's kingdom, where compassion and equality is the standard. Broken sinners coming together. And so, playing favorites and discrimination may not be evident externally for us. You may think that this particular struggle or sin does not pertain to us. But what goes on in our hearts sometimes, especially when, I think, when conflict happens in the church. Yes, conflict happens in the church. And we sinners have a tendency of using that status card to try and beat the other person we're in conflict with, as if the solution to conflict is to beat the other person. And so when we do come in conflict with someone, we instinctively want to pull out that status card and ask this question: do you know who I am? I'm the pastor. I'm the son of so-and-so. You can't speak to me this way. But here's the key. We try and live in that reflection of God's kingdom, even in the midst of our brokenness, where James echoes Jesus, who said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Working out our faith holistically through our deeds with the guidance and empowering of the Holy Spirit, while always acknowledging our own faults, shortcomings, and being humble enough to realize that we don't always have everything together. Faith and works. And so to reflect specifically to the sin of favoritism in our passage today, part of our own realization of this working out of our faith is to care for the poor and the oppressed, to not show partiality against them because of what the world is telling us to do, because of what our culture is dragging us toward. You see, in the Roman world of James, that James is writing to, the society and culture was enmeshed with a thirst for that status and power. And sometimes that didn't even pertain to being wealthy or having a lot of money. That's the same thing. The main focus was about status and power. It's not too different from our society, I think, where we mark our own status and power with where we work, with what we buy, what we wear, what we listen to, what we consume. A commentator writes how to the Roman world, the Christian church was but another of these collegia, which is just their way of saying like a social club. And so to the Roman world, the Christian church was but another of these social clubs, another avenue that afforded the wealthy an opportunity to demonstrate their superiority over others. That was what was happening in the church. This means that for James's congregation that he's writing to, they were threatened to not create a community of compassion and equality, which is God's kingdom on earth, but one of social stratification and privilege. So the church, ironically, was favoring those who were the ones who were actually showing injustice to their community and society. It was the rich that were unjustly oppressing the poor through the court systems and taking away the land of the poor. This is so similar to the ancient Near Eastern context of the Old Testament. James is very likely echoing Leviticus 19:15, where it says, "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly." You see, this injustice that was happening was a pattern of the world. And this injustice was happening in the ancient Near Eastern times, as well as the Roman society in the first century. But is that a surprise for us today? That same pattern of the world, that same sin of showing favoritism against the poor, is evident in the ancient Old Testament times, as well as the first century New Testament times, as well as all throughout history, including ours today. Is it a surprise where I find this stat that 85% of the wealth, of the global wealth today, is owned by the richest 10% of the world's population, while the bottom half, meaning the bottom 50% of the whole world's population, own just 1% of the global wealth? Now, these numbers may not be totally accurate, but I would guess that this is pretty close. A pattern of this world that is reflected. And I think I can trust Google for this stat. But to be clear, James is not just warning us simply about money and wealth. Money is not inherently evil. Money, I believe, is also part of our created world, where we are called to be good stewards of it. How we treat money, like worshiping money by being greedy, or what we do with it, is what can become sin. What James's church was becoming was a church that started to prioritize status and power, which was rooted in unjust distribution of wealth. And so the challenge for us, Hope, is that we cannot let this narrative, this pattern of the world, be our narrative or our pattern. Paul says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, passive, by the Holy Spirit. How can we, then, we turn around the question, how can we, as a church, Hope, stand against the world's pattern of discrimination against the poor? How can we be good witnesses to the gospel? Practically, giving money and stewarding your finances wisely. Yes. Giving to the church more. Yes. Dave keeps saying that's his favorite one. Just kidding. But also, I think, importantly, money, yes, but also your time and effort and energy to serve others, just as we commissioned our deacons and elder today. To give your time, your energy to serve others and to treat everyone, everyone in our church, everyone in our community that we get to serve with equality and compassion. Simply put, the church, our church, any church today should never be a place that reflects the power and status honoring place that shapes our capitalistic society. And don't make the mistake that this sort of struggle is only for the churches down south in the U.S., where there's so much politics involved in the churches. No, it sits in our hearts as well. But what is the gospel, the good news for us this morning? Is James just requiring some sort of religious obedience to another thing called favoritism? We check this box off and we say, yes, okay, we've done that, we're fine. Is it just enough to follow that law and say, we're okay? In verses 9 to 11, James demands something of us, which reflects also what Paul says in Romans 2:23. It says that Paul says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. And what Paul is saying is exactly what James is saying in our verses, in our chapter, where James says, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of it all. So what is James expecting out of us as the church? You ask James. So what do you want? What are you expecting? What do you want us to reflect? Perfection? Yes. That's one of the key words all throughout James as a book. Perfection. Teleos. Reflecting God's perfection, God's compassion, God's equality shown to everyone. Holiness without fault. Perfection. But John, you said this was the good news. How is demanding us to live into our identity of perfection good news for us? Isn't that impossible for us to achieve? Yes and no. It's impossible by our own strength. But James, remember, is writing to us as the church with the full expectancy that we will grow in faith. We will grow in holiness. Why? Because we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling with us. He makes it possible. And so the last part of James 2 that we looked at, he says that we live in light of mercy because we are guilty of sin, yes. Yet through the love of the Father, through the obedience of the Son, we have been shown mercy. Hence, James states, mercy triumphs over judgment. In light of this mercy, we are called to speak and act, which means we are called to live our whole lives as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives us freedom. Might sound like an oxymoron. Law, freedom. Law that gives us freedom? Yes, God's law, not just any law. God's word for us. God's law that gives us freedom to live righteously. Again, as God our loving Father intended us for us to live. And this is only possible through His Holy Spirit. We see this beautiful work of our triune God working here, where the loving mercy of the Father through the Son Jesus Christ works in us through His Holy Spirit, enabling us to live in the way of righteousness. Yes, of course we struggle with our own sins, even as the Spirit leads us. And yes, we should, and we lament at the fact of how much we try and limit the Holy Spirit working in us. But take courage and rejoice at the fact that the good news is God does never give up on us. He grants us freedom by His grace. This is His gift. This is not earned. We can never earn this. This is such a beautiful gift that was given to us, that is with us through His Holy Spirit. You are free. You are free from sin. You are free to live righteously. And so this is the encouragement for you this morning, Hope. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is a very famous song too that I used to sing when I was young. Moon said, oh, I'll sing it if you say it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Yeah, if you know the song, that's the lyrics. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, Hope. There is freedom for you. Freedom from sin. And so live into this freedom. Live as though you are free to show compassion to one another. Live as though you are free to treat everyone equally because we are all made in the image of our Creator. May we be able to reflect God's kingdom in this way by showing one another with compassion and equality and showing our community, especially those who we know are poor and are oppressed. Our society is not perfect. May we be able to show that compassion and that equality of God for us and our neighbors. Live into your freedom. Let's pray. Father God, we pray in gratitude and joy while also lamenting at our shortcomings. Lord, we pray as we prayed in confession, that a lot of the times we do things that we are not supposed to and we don't do things that we should have done. But we take courage, Lord, because we know that by your Holy Spirit you are with us. You dwell in us. You live with us, guiding us, providing that wisdom to live righteously, to live in reflection of your kingdom. And as we witness through your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide us, that we will be more prone to listen to your voice, to listen to your spirit, of what you have to say to us and our community about taking care of those who are poor and who are oppressed, that we do not show discrimination against them, but we stand with them, we stand for them. So I pray, Lord, that you would be given all the glory that you deserve as we wrestle and as we journey throughout our lives of faith, living in this equality and this compassion for one another. May this blessing be on us as we live out our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing and worship with song.